May we be helped to commence our evening worship by singing together hymn 947, 947. Tune Indulgence 547. Great God, to Thee I'll make my griefs and sorrows known, and with a humble hope approach Thy awful throne. Though by my sins deserving hell, I'll not despair, for who can tell? My heart misgives me oft, and conscience storms within, but one sweet smile from Thee at once would make me clean. If Thou be mine, all will be well, and why not so? For who can tell? Hymn 947, tune Indulgence 547.
Oh, Let us read from God's holy word from Luke's Gospel in chapter 21. A Gospel according to Luke, chapter 21. We read the first 33 verses. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offering of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. And as some spake of the temple, how it was ordained with goodly stones and gifts, he said, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they ask him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, take heed that ye be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, at which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by your parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, now that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be a great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud, with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable. Behold, the fig tree and all the trees, and when they now shoot forth, ye see and know that your own selves, that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. We'll leave the reading there. May the Lord bless to us his own word. Most holy, and eternal Lord God. Oh, do help us now to bow at thy dear feet. We come into thy courts, Lord, to worship thee. We pray that we may be as dear John and the Isle of Patmos, and be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And, O Lord, may we be under the divine influence of thy Spirit even this evening. For without thee we can do nothing. Oh, do favour us to feel and to know thy sweet and sacred presence. And, O Lord, may we be humbled in the dust and be as nothing. The precious Jesus may be the all and in all to us. Do empty us, Lord, of everything of the flesh and of our carnal minds, and fill us with thy Spirit. For thou hast said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we pray that we may know a little of that liberty this evening, and especially in the time now of prayer, liberty at the throne of grace. Lord, that we may spread before thee all our need, all our burdens, all our concerns, all our exercises, and leave them all at thy dear feet. Lord, as we come as a poor, needy sinner, needing thy mercy, needing thee to wash us and cleanse us from all our many sins. Oh, we pray that thou wilt sweetly assure us that thou didst suffer, bleed and die for us. We are among thy dear chosen children. Lord, may the desire the hymn writer be our fervent petition. With them numbered may I be, now and through eternity. O Lord, do make us right and keep us right. Grant that real religion to us that's more than notion. May we be amongst those that are truly born of God. Now I said, and oh, that we may lay it to heart continually, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And, O Lord, do come and grant to us that real heart repentance over our many, many sins. Oh, that we may ever be at thy dear feet, begging and pleading for mercy, pleading to be washed in the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, do come and seal to each sin-sick soul this night that sweet assurance that thou didst suffer, bleed and die for us. Thou didst shed thy precious blood, and may we know the sweet application of it, Lord, to know our pardon signed, our peace procured. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt visit our souls with thy salvation. Thou wilt reveal thyself to us, as that thou didst to dear Job, that we can say, as he did, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And, O Lord, may it please thee to strengthen our little faith. You know us how often we're plagued with unbelief and doubts, Lord. Oh, how we need that faith which only thou canst give to be in a gracious exercise in us. Faith to believe even to the saving of our souls. Lord, do take away all the unbelief then, the doubts, the fears that arise in the hearts of thy people. May it please thee to give us heavenly patience to run the race that is set before us, that we may have that patience to wait for thy appearing and thy time. And Lord, patience to wait for thee to speak. Oh, do speak to our souls even this night. And may thy word be made life and power to us. And may we know the application of it more and more. And the sweetness and savour and blessedness there is in it. We pray for those, Lord, that are young, the dear children, who bless the little ones and the babes and the dear children. Remember them, Lord, in their early days. May they be taught of thee in their early years, brought to seek thy face and to serve thee. May thy tender filial fear be put in their hearts. We pray that thou wilt keep them, Lord, and keep us each in these dark and solemn days. May they be kept, Lord, from this world and all its snares and attractions. Oh, do keep them, Lord, and the dear young people too, from all natural carnal religion. May they be blessed with that real religion that's more than notion. Do raise up a seed to serve thee, a generation to call thee the Redeemer blessed. Hear the prayers of dear parents for their offspring. We pray thou wilt send down those answers of peace. Do call by grace many in this town, yet if it would please thee, may there be an awakening of many sinners round to come and fill the place. No, Lord, may it please thee to constrain others to follow thee in thy sacred ordinances and commandments. For thou hast said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Oh, may there be many filled with thy love, Lord, that they may venture to be as obedient children. Lord, we pray that thou wilt remember the afflicted of thy people. We think of several in our own flock and laid aside those near in their journey's end, Lord, throughout Zion. And oh, how we need thee to sweetly assure them and assure us each that it is well with us, while life endure, and well when called to die. And may the prayer of the hymn writer be our fervent petition. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must thee work perform, for it is all of grace. And in Christ's obedience clothe, and wash us in his blood. So shall we then lift up our head with joy among the sons of God. Lord, do sanctify all the afflictions of thy people. Think of our dear friend Beryl in the hospital. Thou wilt visit her, Lord, and grant her that restoring, and may she be kept well for a season, if it would please thee. And may it please thee to gather her once again in thy courts. But Lord, we seek thy will in these things, and do grant us that grace of submission, to submit to thy will in all things. And may we be humbled in the dust, and never be as nothing, and a precious Jesus the all and in all. And we pray that thou wilt pour thy Spirit out, Lord, that there may be many prodigals brought to return. May it be so here, Lord, in your own flock and throughout Zion. Many have forsaken Zion's ways. Oh, may it please thee, send thy Spirit forth and quicken souls and make them cry, Jesus, save me, or I die. And O Lord, we pray for thy servants, that thou would help them, Lord, in all their labours. May thy servant that goes forth from the flock here be graciously helped every time he ventures forth. And may there be that real fruit following the preaching of the word. For Lord, thou alone canst give the increase. And O Lord, we pray for our friend at the desk, thou would help him in the burdens and weights and concerns he carries. And grant him, Lord, that needed help each hour and each time of need. And Lord, remember those in trouble, and those persecuted, those oppressed, and those that feel to be at the ends of the earth. And we pray that thou would appear for each one, and command deliverance if it would please thee. And O Lord, who appear in the nation, what can we say, dear Lord? Iniquity runs down our streets, the love of many waxes cold, and as we have read, Lord, things get worse and worse. Overturn, we pray, all the laws that are contrary to thy word, and may we have right laws upon our statute book. And remember our king and queen and the royal family. May they each be taught of thee, Lord, and brought to set a right and clear example in the nation, and serve thee as the only true God. And Lord, remember our Prime Minister and those in Cabinet and all that rule in the land, Lord, whatever be their state or name. We pray that thou wilt work in them, that there may be yet many to fear thy holy name, to hear the cries of those that sigh and cry over the abominations done in the land. And dear Lord, do remember those in Ukraine and in other places where wars rage. We pray thou would overturn and overthrow all the powers of the enemy, and that there may be a season of deliverance, and many brought to fear thy holy name. We would praise thee for all thy many, many mercies. Lord, we are unworthy of the least of thy mercy and of thy truth, as dear Jacob said. And we pray for a truly thankful heart. And may we love and praise thee more. To anoint us now to speak a few things in thy holy name, we pray for voice to speak, the hearing ear to thy people. And O Lord, do strengthen us for this hour. We pray for thy blessing to this end. For Lord, without thee, we can do nothing. Help us to fall into thy kind arms, sink or swim, and forgive anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss in our poor breathings. And send down, we pray, those answers of peace. We ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
The notices for the opening week are that, God willing, Mr. Robert Field will also preach here on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Gary Christie next Lord's Day evening. As helps, there'll be a read address during the prayer meeting and a read sermon during the morning service. On Thursday evening, there will be a church prayer meeting commencing at 7:15, and today is the day for our monthly collection. May we now be helped to continue our worship, singing together hymn 1075, hymn 1075, to the tune Euphony 7:86. I read the last verse, which was the verse that drew this hymn to my attention for tonight. Lord, draw my heart from earth away, and make it only know thy call. Speak to my inmost soul, and say, I am thy Saviour, God, thy all. O dwell in me, fill all my soul and all my powers by thine control. Hymn 1075, June Euphony 786.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to the chapter we read together, the Gospel according to Luke chapter 21, and the first part of verse 28. So Luke's Gospel chapter 21 and the first part of verse 28. When these things begin to come to pass, then look up. The whole verse reads, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. It's really those three words that the Lord seemed to breathe into my heart concerning the service this evening, then look up. It's a very solemn chapter that we read together. The Lord Jesus speaking of the solemn things that were to come to pass. And really, if you study it carefully, so much in the present day in which we live, not only in this country, but too in those abroad and in Jerusalem and throughout Israel, all these things speak of the last times. And the Lord Jesus so clearly set it before them, the dear disciples and those around him, how it would be. And there's no doubt it would have made them look down in sorrow and in distress and burden them. And there may be those things this evening that upon your heart and in your life and pathway, much there is to make us look down, isn't it? But the instruction here from the Saviour and the words dropped from his sacred lips, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Look up. Now, I don't know what you may be in this evening, but may that be a clear word, if nothing I preach it to myself, that we may be found looking up in all things. You think of Jonah when he was in the fish's belly. We know the reasons why he was there, because of disobedience, not obeying the Lord's command to go to preach. repentance to the city of Nineveh. But in that fish's belly, there was a much to darken his heart and soul. As he looked to the right hand, all there was to weigh him down and darkness. As he looked to the left hand, it was so. If he looked before him, or if he looked back, the only way was to look up. And that we need faith. The Lord gave him that living faith to look up. The eyes of faith will ever look heavenward. And Jonah was enabled to, wasn't he? And what does he say? Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Now, where are we looking this evening? It was no use him looking to himself, was it? It was no use him looking to any man to help him. He was out of the reaches of them all. Jesus said here, when you see these things, look up. And that's what Jonah had to do, didn't he? Living faith enabled him to look above it all to him who was in control of the sea, the fish that he was in, and in control of all what Jonah was in. And he alone was to deliver him. As the verse goes on to say, doesn't it? Lift up your heads. Why? For your redemption draweth nigh. And when he was to be vomited out on dry land, Mr. Labour said, it's one of the sweetest sermons that was ever preached, what he said. Salvation is of the Lord. And he proved it, didn't he? The only place of safety and redemption was through the precious blood of Jesus, through all that he accomplished at Calvary. I will look again toward thy holy temple, and that holy temple was none other than the dear Lord Jesus himself. And then you can think too of the serpent-bitten children of Israel. There was so much, wasn't there, to weigh them down and to cause them to look down. They murmured and complained before Moses and before the Lord over the bread they had to eat. There were other times with the children of Israel, they complained, and we read of it this morning, where they had no water. You see, we cannot. There's much to make sinners complain naturally, but you see, we should be, instead of complaining, looking up. And where did the Lord bring those dear children of Israel? The Lord instructed Moses to make a serpent of brass and to put it upon a pole and lift it up in the wilderness. And as he lifted it up, all they had to do was look. I love that couplet. It's very sweet, really, in that beautiful hymn on that subject, where it says, dying sinner, look and live. We are each poor dying sinners, whether we realise it or not, but we are. And the only place to look for salvation, for deliverance, is to a precious Jesus. That serpent that was lifted up was a beautiful type of the dear Lord Jesus. Die in sin, look and live. Whatever you may be in this evening, in your soul, in your pathway, in your family, there may be many things that are making you look down. You look at the state of the nation. There's much to make us look down, isn't there? But the clear commission by the Saviour here was, when you see these things, whatever they may be, look up. Why? Because he says here, and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Oh, to be found among those dear redeemed souls, redeemed by Jesus' precious blood. Safe for time, safe for eternity. And that soul will continually be looking up. They know where else to look. They know if they look to themselves, there's no deliverance there. They look to man, there's no deliverance there. The only place is to look heavenward. I love that 121st Psalm. It's often referred to as the Traveller's Psalm. A dear friend of mine that was up in Bedfordshire, he's now in glory, but he said to me whenever he was a little boy and whenever they were going out anywhere, his father always said, let us read Psalm 121. Especially if they were going on holiday or got a journey before them, we'll read Psalm 121. And he never forgot it, you know. What does it start with? I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Dear David, you know, many times through his life, the only place he could look when Saul was hunting him as a partridge upon the mountain was to look up. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven, he says, and earth. I will lift up mine eyes. It reminded me when this text came in my early days. I was in much darkness and soul trouble and burdened by sin and by sin oppressed and the devil roaring. And I remember, I didn't say anything to a soul what I was in, but I remember coming out of the chapel on Lord's Day, and a dear old godly lady, she had must have had gracious discernment. She said, my boy, what you got to do in all that you're in, and it was only between me and the Lord, but she detected it. She said, what you've got to do is look up. And there's your salvation. And you know, it was a great help to me, you see, as I looked, and we are prone to, aren't we? You may be in some difficulty or trial today, or burdened with some particular weight, and what all you want to do is look at that which is burdening you. And what does it do? It sinks us lower, doesn't it? As the hymn writer said, when you see these things, look up. You will say, well, that's easy to say it, but it's another thing to be able to do it. We need the Lord, you see, to stir up our hearts and cause us to look up and look to him with the eye of faith. Look up. So he says, when you see these things, then look up. And that can apply in something in providence, in a small matter. How many times in some small matter have you had to come to the place where all you could do was look to the Lord to appear in it, to provide for you, to supply your need? You think of the times with dear Elijah, when the famine came, where he had to look to the Lord, for the Lord to provide him with food to eat, like he did at the Brook Cherith, and to gave him the water to drink. The raven sent to feed him. And he had to look up to see them coming, didn't he? And they came from heaven, from the Lord. So So we have this word, if nothing this evening, may it be the word of clear instruction. I preach, as I said earlier, to myself this, look up. Keep your eyes on Jesus fixed, and there your hope to stay. Whenever I name that, I think back in the years when I was doing the probation period at Ashwell, and I used to come back often into London and preach either at Edmonton or Forest Gate or Forest Hill, and on a Sunday evening return into Kent. And I remember one Sunday evening I was very low, and the journey was difficult, and I went back to Forest Gate to the service, and I felt helped through, but I seemed to be in such a dark place. And in some ways I feared coming out of the chapel, because the chapel was based right next to Manor Park Cemetery, and it was often a dark place around there. And you know, I feared to come out. I fear I'd go lower and be in more darkness. And as I walked out the vestry door to walk to the front of the back of the chapel to go out into the, get in my car and come home, as I walked up there, you know, to that door, the Lord dropped those words, keep your eyes on Jesus fixed, and there your hope to stay. His goodness he will make to pass before you in the way. And you know, it lifted me right out of all that darkness I was in. And I shall never forget driving down the old A20 past Brands Hatch, and to come back to Kent and into Kent, and the sweet presence of the Saviour with me. I could never describe it in words, but it's so real it was. Keep your eyes on Jesus fixed. And you know, these times you'll never forget when the Lord commands you to do this. Because in doing it, there is a wonderful reward, as he says here. When these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Why? And lift up your heads, for your redemption, your deliverance, your salvation draweth nigh. And you know, in venturing to follow the Lord in his sacred ordinance, it's very sweet, isn't it, to be able to keep Christ in view. As one of the hymns said, in all you say and all you do, keeping Christ in view. And we cannot do it in and of ourselves, but as the Holy Spirit enables us and gives us that faith to keep him in view. And he will bring you safely through. You won't bring yourself through. Jonah couldn't. Nor could the children of Israel when they were serpent bitten. But keep him in view. And this will kindle such love in the child of God's heart to the dear Redeemer. Oh, it will. The hymn writer said, didn't he, kindle the flame of sacred love in these cold hearts of ours. We need him too, don't we? And one word like this, applied by the Holy Spirit, then look up, will kindle the flame of sacred love. It'll draw the affections of the child of God and their heart heavenward. And then, of course, the apostle, in that well-known verse in Hebrews, after he had given that wonderful catalogue of all those that had gone before, you know, they all looked for the glorious Saviour, they did. He's coming. Their eyes were fixed upon him. And he declares of how they all died in faith, not having received the promises, but have seen them afar off and were persuaded of them that the Lord would appear and their deliverer, their dear redeemer. And what does the apostle start chapter 12 with? Wherefore, seeing we also that compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And then he tells us how, doesn't he? Looking unto Jesus. Now, why does the sinner have to look to him? Well, because in him is everything they need, both for time and for eternity. When you're weighed down, burdened because of your sin, may not be able to sleep at night because of it. There's only one place to look, child of God. That's to the dear Redeemer. Because he alone, in him, is mercy. Mercy for sinners. It all flows through a precious Jesus. You know, if you read the Gospels, through the four Gospels, and those characters that came to the Lord Jesus, such as the dear woman, when she came with the case of her daughter, saying, "Lord, help me," and the blind men, when they came to the dear Redeemer, how did they come? They came on the grounds of mercy. She did. "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And you see, she viewed in the dear Saviour, there was mercy for her soul. The blind men came pleading for mercy. They didn't come first of all saying, "Lord, give us our sight, and then we can see." They came on the grounds of mercy. And they knew in him was mercy for sinners, which the gospel makes known. It is found in the merits of Jesus alone. It's a good hymn, that 11th hymn, isn't it? Mercy. And the 12th hymn too, where Mr. Burnham beautifully set it forth. That mercy that has brought us again. Mercy that is transportingly sweet. And it all flows through a precious Jesus. That's why the poor sinner has to look to him for mercy. Because in him is mercy for sinners. And in him is pardon. That's why the sinner has to look to him. Because only he can grant it. And as he grants it, poor soul, he may not even say a word to you. There are some that can boast, he said this and that to them. We know he does speak it to his dear children, and we bless God for it. But, you know, the Lord, I think it was the late Mr. Morris said, you know, the Lord can pardon a poor, black, vile sinner of all sin without saying a word. He breathes pardon into their soul, and they are clean every whit. and their dying sinner will have to look to him for it. Oh yes, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. It all flows, you see, through a precious Jesus, as our text says. Then look up, look up. Look to him, because not only is the mercy in him, not only is the pardon in him, but there's blessed peace in him. I love that precious hymn. This glorious man, thy peace shall be. And when he breathes that peace, poor soul, and it all flows through a precious Christ to sinners that look to him, breathes that peace into their souls, it's a peace that passeth all understanding. You cannot begin to describe it. And even in the depths, when you can see no deliverance, and the dear hymn writer said, didn't he, when thou canst no deliverance see, and that's a hard place to come into, to look to him. When thou canst no deliverance see, this glorious man, thy peace shall be. It all flows, you see, from the dear Redeemer into sinners' hearts. And what will be the effect of it? Firstly, the sweet effect of it will humble the sinner in the dust. They have to say, Lord, why me? Why such a wretch as I? Overwhelmed by his goodness, overwhelmed by his favour toward them. Secondly, they're free from all the bondage they're in. You see, sin binds the sinner. So does Satan, so does our unbelief. And we cannot deliver ourselves from it. But the Lord Jesus can. That's why the poor sinner has to look to him. They want to be free. I love those words of the Saviour. If the Son shall make you free, then are ye free indeed. When he makes the sinner free, liberty, they are free, absolutely free. Like Peter, when he was let, the Lord brought him out of the prison. He was absolutely free from the chains of the prison, from the bondage he'd been in. Say to the wicked jailer, sin, loose him and let him go. And then you can think of Legion. The mad Gadarene, he was bound, wasn't he, amongst those tombs in bondage, a hard, rebellious man. Do you have to look to the Lord for him to remove from your poor heart any rebelliousness? We are told in the Word of God, the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Man may say, well, you shouldn't be rebellious. We shouldn't, that's true. But we cannot deliver ourselves, left to ourselves, from, but the Lord can in a moment. And you look at Legion, among those tombs, and all that bondage, and all that death that surrounded him. But you look how the Lord brought him to look alone to the dear Saviour and brought him out. And brought him to a most blessed place and sacred place that you could ever come to in this earth. Where he sat at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. It's a blessed place, that is, you know. At the feet of Jesus. Well, let me come low to your desire to be brought there. Look to the dear Redeemer to bring you there. Because he can. And remove all hardness, remove all rebelliousness, remove all the hatred. And sit at the feet of Jesus. Clothed in love of Christ, clothed in humility, clothed in the righteousness of the Saviour. And he wanted to stay there, didn't he, for the rest of his life. But the Lord spoke to him those beautiful words, "Go home to thy friends." You may say, "What such a character of friends." Yes, go home to thy friends and tell what great things Jesus has done unto thee. He got something to tell them, hasn't he? It's a wonderful thing, you know, to have something to tell of what the Saviour has done and how you've been enabled to look to him for everything. For your daily bread, you know. Many of our godly forefathers, they hadn't got the education, the ability that there is about today. But you know, when it came to the vital things of God, they were most real. And one of the reasons why was because they were so dependent upon the Lord for everything. They had to pray sometimes for every meal to be provided. They had to pray for clothes to put on. They were dependent upon the Lord. We live in a day where so many are independent, aren't they? But oh, to be found completely, totally, utterly dependent upon the Lord. I often go in the pulpit and often pray that my whole dependence may be upon the Lord. If he fails me, I'm finished. And that's where the Lord will bring you. Lord, do not fail me. I love that promise. The Lord spoke it to Joshua and others, didn't he? I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And are you looking for him not to fail you in things that concern you tonight? He won't fail his dear people. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Lord promised it, didn't he? And Joshua proved it. So we have this word then. When these things begin to come to pass, none of us know what will come to pass if we're spared even through this, further in this year. We're seeing many things taking place throughout the earth. Man call it climate change and all sorts of things. But really, it's God's solemn judgment upon the earth. Man has grieved the Lord, rebelled against him, turned from him. Turn to idols and little g gods instead of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His solemn judgments are abroad in the earth. He said, "By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation." And we need to lay them to heart. But may the Lord, in all what we're in, whether it be in our souls, in our families, in our pathways, in our churches, be found him with these three words, which is so sweetly recorded here by the Saviour. When you see these things, then look up. And may that be our occupation from this hour onwards. Looking up to him alone, who can supply everything that we need in providence and in grace. Think of what the apostle said, and I must leave it, but think of what the apostle said to the church in Philippi. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And he could speak that from experience, because he knew what it was for the Lord to supply every need that he had. And only the Lord could do it. The hymn writer said, didn't he, my every need he richly will supply, nor will his mercy ever let me die. And then concerning our end, none of us know whether we shall ever come into the house of God again. Our times are in his hand. Are we looking up to him to prepare us for that great day when flesh and blood shall fail? And we shall launch in worlds unknown and see him on his judgment throne. Are we looking up to be ready? Looking up to be prepared? Looking up to be made right and kept right? To be blessed with that real religion that's more than notion? Does it exercise us and concern us? How stands the case? The hymn writer said, my soul with thee. Ah, heaven, thy credentials clear. Is Jesus' blood thy only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there? When you see these things, look up. Well, I've scratched around the surface of it. There's so much more in it, because there's so much we need to look to him for, and for him to work both in our souls, in our families, in the churches. We have that beautiful word in Isaiah, aren't we? And something we can plead before him. He said, I will work, and who shall let him? And the dear psalmist said, let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. Well, may the Lord bless his word. We would give him all the glory. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn number 257. 257 to the tune Eshtayol 332. Ye humble souls, complain no more. Let faith survey your future store. How happy, how divinely blessed, the sacred words of truth attest. There shall your eyes with rapture view the glorious friend that died for you, that died to ransom, died to raise, to crowns of joy and songs of praise. Jesus, to thee I breathe my prayer, reveal, confirm my interest there. Whate'er my humble lot below, This my soul desires to know. Hymn 257, tune SAO 332.
Oh,
Dear Lord, do forgive now anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Do bless thy own word. May we not to leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little that abides in our hearts. Do grant us that singleness of eye to look wholly to thee, and to keep a precious Jesus in view. Take us now into thy kind care and keeping, and may the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.